Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you ascend light, understanding, spirit of understanding and enlightenment. And Lord, we ask that you open our heart and plant your word that we might not sin against you. Lord, we praise your holy name, Lord. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith that frees. This morning, Paul, last week we noticed that he changed gears. He started, instead of rebuking them, oh, you foolish Galatians, he, you know, started with a tone of endearment. Brethren, he switched to a loving tone. And he continues in that tone. For this morning, this realization that he unfolds here is so powerful and so loving to our own salvation, to our own understanding of Jesus Christ. You'll notice that Paul kind of breaks this passage down before faith and then after faith. And this morning we're going to follow suit. Before faith, he writes in verse 23, but before faith came. Now, in a literal sense, if you jump down to verse 4, chapter 4, he's talking about the advent of the coming of Jesus Christ. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. In a literal sense, he's talking about when Jesus came, he changed everything. You know, objectively, he has changed everything. If you look, but he's not speaking to us this morning objectively. But objectively, if you look back, you know, when Jesus Christ came, it split time in half. You know, now we refer to time, well, now we refer to time as BCE and ACE. We used to, back in the day, refer to time as BC, before Christ, and AD, Ad Domino, the day of the Lord. The day the Lord came, was born as a human, changed history, objectively. ACE, now the new, reference, trying to rule God out before the common era. But still, you can't rule him out because they use the common era as it's Christ. He's the line of demarcation. He's the life that changed the world. But Paul's talking about before faith came, literally, when Christ came, objectively, historically, Christ did come. But he's speaking in a subjective sense. He's speaking to us, to man, about the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Before Christ came, in your heart, in your life, to personalize this, you know, it's the day when I accepted him. That makes it after, before faith came and then after faith came. Here, before faith came, notice he describes the state of man or God's people before faith came, before Christ came. In verse 22, he said that they're under sin, underneath sin. That is parallel with what the Bible says in Romans, when Paul, you know, writes that great indictment that the whole world is under sin. There's none that seek God. You know, all are unrighteous. All fall short. He goes on in that passage, and it's like a runaway sinner, you know, completely running away from God. And yet, here, he states, you know, before faith came, all are under sin. Before Christ came to us, we were underneath sin. That word confinement, or kept, in verse 22, it means really imprisoned. Before faith came, we were imprisoned in sin, Paul's talking about. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, enslaved to sin, imprisoned under sin, underneath the weight of sin. Peter said, they themselves are slaves of corruption, depravity. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Imprisoned, enslaved, confined, kept underneath, under this heavy weight of sin before faith came, all of us, minus none. Paul describing, you know, the state, the condition of those before faith came. He goes on to describe, in verse 22, underneath sin, confinement, imprisonment. Verse 23, under guard. So before faith came, we were kept under guard, under custody, enslaved. Verse 2, chapter 4, under guardianship, or a steward, or bound, not free. Verse 3, chapter 4, under the elements of the world. He speaks of bondage. Bondage and enslavement. Imprisonment, sin, what sin does apart from God. Before faith came, the Bible says we were imprisoned in confinement in this description, and not free. And verse 24, he talks about being in the custody of this tutor. Therefore, the law was our tutor, literally speaking to Israel, those under the law. But Paul applies this to us, all of us, being under the beggarly elements of the world. Here he says, under the custody of a tutor. That word in the Greek is pedagogue. It actually means, you know, like a supervision or a person that supervises your life. The role of a pedagogue was to watch over, and usually was a Greek slave, watch over the children's upbringing, watch over their morals, who they hung out with, their association, to bring them to school, deliver them to their education, watching over their education. And here, Paul writing about before faith came, the law's role in our life. Kind of like, remember Mr. French with Buffy and Jody? He's like a pedagogue, you know. He was there and he was watching over their upbringing till they came of age. The Bible tells us this pedagogue, the law, Paul relating the law to the pedagogue, this one, the supervision, under the supervision before faith came. Servitude. In verse 8, you serve those who by nature are not gods. Not only in bondage and enslaved, but serving another, serving a false god, serving an idol, idolatry. This description of the state before faith came in our life. Before faith without Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that at that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and hopeless without God in the world. Paul to the Ephesians describes even further that you were alienated from God, strangers, estranged from the promises of God. They didn't have a clue what the promises of God were before faith came. You were cut off. You were estranged. You were alienated. And you were without hope in the world, without God. Before faith came to us, Paul describing our state. But God offers hope. Even here, laced and connecting with the description of, you know, how life was with God's people before faith came. It's all coupled with, you know, his intent and his purpose is coupled with a promise, with hope. In verse 22, he says, the scripture exposed our sin. You know, the scripture showing us that we're confined under sin, bondage. Scripture exposes our state, being imprisoned, enslaved. The last part of 22 says that the promise by faith might be given. But reaching out, the purpose, the scripture exposes our sin, our state, our confinement, being kept under guard, is that we, by faith, might receive the promise. The purpose, the intent of God, always positive, always loving, always to free. Even coupled with the description of man without God, or man in sin, or man in bondage, or man enslaved, or man imprisoned. He gives a promise in verse 23, the promise for the faith that would afterward be revealed. You see, but before faith came, we were kept under guard, under custody by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. The promise of revelation that's coming with faith. Or the promise of the receiving of the promise that comes with faith. So before faith, you were imprisoned, in bondage, enslaved. But the hope that he offers to everyone, even during and imprisoned, reaching out to them to receive, reaching out to them that they might, by faith, receive a revelation. In chapter 4, verse 2, he explains the revelation. Verse 2, he says, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The revelation of the coming of Jesus Christ. God desires his people. God desires man to receive that revelation. That they might grasp the truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. That they might receive the promise. That they might receive the revelation. The Bible tells us that the scripture shows us that we were confined in prison. The purpose of God. The purpose, intent of God. Is to recognize my state, my need, to reach out by faith to his offer of hope and promise, and to receive what he has for me in my life. You know, Paul in Romans 7, recognizing, you know, his state. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Recognizing his state, reaching out to God for promise, for help, for deliverance. The Bible tells us not only, you know, before faith came, but after faith came. Things changed dramatically. After faith came, there's receiving of the promise. There's receiving of the revelation. In verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, he redeemed us, the Bible says. He redeemed us. That word means he purchased us out of slavery. He paid our way out of prison. He purchased us off the slave market from sin what Christ has done after faith has come. The Bible tells us not only did he purchase our freedom, that's a revelation, that we receive from him. Look in verse 5, chapter 4, the end of verse 5. Receive the adoption as sons. Verse 5, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. Receiving what Christ offers to us, the promise, not only purchase our freedom, but he gives us a new standing. You know, adoption, to be adopted as sons. Paul's clarifying what God has done through Jesus Christ with us. From a time before faith to a time after faith. Having faith, receiving the adoption as sons. You know, there's a process of the adoption. You know, it's not objective. You know, you think back, Christ came, the revelation, Christ came historically. But subjectively, there's a process that he comes in us, that we receive him, that he's revealed to us, that we accept him. Paul, personalization of that truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 27. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For real, the adoption being his son is for real. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, for as many of you as were born again, born from above, born spiritually, have put on Christ. A new standing, a new place. Adopted sons of God, Paul tells us, after faith came. It's a realization. It's a truth. What does it entail? You know, the Bible tells us that we're adopted sons, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, sons of God. It comes with a spiritual birth certificate as of sorts. You know, the Bible tells us that when we receive Jesus Christ, not only the revelation, but the promise of the Spirit, when we're born again, the Bible tells us that we're logged, recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just like the day you were born physically, your spiritual birth is recorded. You get a spiritual birth certificate, as it were. You know, the borders are tightening up now. In Canada, you need your birth certificate to get into Canada. You know, and soon you'll need your passport. That's what he gives us spiritually. The restrictions of sin and the imprisonment of the law and sin, the confinement, the borders and the restriction can't hold us because of our new standing, birth certificate, passport. They can't keep us. He's freed us. The truth and the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. The adoption as sons. We get a new title, new name. We're Christians. A new title, sons of God, children of God, Bible tells us. It's a relationship that changes everything. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, next book to the right. Look in verse 13. And following Paul's description of before faith, being alienated, strangers, and having no hope. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Relationship changes everything. Having received the adoption of the Spirit, having received a new name, a new title, becoming a son of God, being drawn near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. It's not what Paul's saying alone, not what I say, not what just Peter says, but Jesus said it. In verse 32 of chapter 8, and you shall know the truth, revelation, when faith comes. And the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said it. It's his word. It's his declaration. The freedom that comes to us after faith, the position, not only aligned, you know, spiritually adopted as sons, but freed from the confinements of sin and the law. Jesus said it. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In verse 9 of chapter 4, Paul talks about the knowledge of God, having afterward, after faith. After faith, you'll have a knowledge of God, but really be known by him. Being known by him. It's a plan that was planned a long time ago. In Ephesians, the Bible tells us, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to an adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Something he planned before the foundations of the world, to make us sons, daughters, children of God, adopting us, freeing us. Our part. Paul says, you who, as many of you as were baptized into Christ. Now, he's saying that to make a distinct, you know, it's just because the truth is written here. You know, it's not an objective truth that applies to us spiritually. It's a subjective truth that we must receive, you know, by faith. So he distinguishes for as many of as were, distinguishing, you know, if you were truly baptized into Jesus Christ, if you're truly born again, if you're truly a son of God, these things apply. If not, you're still bound in your sin. You're still enslaved. You're still confined, kept under guard by the law, the Bible tells us. You're still imprisoned, the Bible tells us. There's no power, no hope, alienated from the promises, estranged from the promises of God. But for those who were truly born again, the promises apply. He says to put on Christ, to live in Christ. You know, to live in the new nature. You know, our part, I love this verse over in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, along with God's promise of receiving a promise and revelation of the truth is an invitation to come out of jail. Walk out. You know, I like that story. He says, come ye apart and be separate. Touch not an unclean thing. Don't dwell with the unholy. Be free. Be clean. Walk out. You know, the story about in Pilgrim's Progress, the story of Christian. You know, when Christian was, you know, walking down the narrow road, and he looks over the fence and, oh, look at how easy, you know, I could travel down this, I think it was called Easy Meadow. Look at Shirley. He looked down the narrow path, looked down Easy Meadow. Looks like they're going in the same direction. Might as well make it soft on our feet. So he hopped a fence and he starts meandering down Easy Path. I forgot the name of it specifically. But sure enough, he got lost. He lost his way. Next thing you know, he's captured by the giant despair. He's imprisoned in Doubting Castle. He's imprisoned in chain now. Christian, who has the truth. And the next scene, he's down on the floor in prison and he's praying. I forgot the prayer. But it comes to him. It dawns on him. It's like, oh, what? He stands up. Oh, what a fool am I. I have a key in my pocket that unlocks every door in Doubting Castle. And he starts unlocking the cells. And he frees himself. Dudgeon, the giant despair, almost grabs him, man. But he falls right on his face. He's free. He finds his way back to the narrow path and stays on it. Freedom, that faith that frees, is faith that locks on. You know, Paul says that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. It's holding to what Christ gives and offers. It's living the life that he commands us to live. And Titus, turn to Titus 2, and we'll close. Titus chapter 2, look in verse 12 for our part. Teaching us, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Revelation, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. How to be free. How to stay clean. Let's stand. Paul, you know, the overriding theme in the book of Galatians is freedom. We're in the heart of Galatians right now. To be free, faith that frees, is faith that lays hold of the revelation of Jesus Christ, faith that believes and receives what he has. And walking out of prison, you know, don't touch any unclean thing. Escape. You know, our escape obviously is based upon another, Jesus Christ. He rescues us. He redeemed us. And we know that. But he tells us to live in freedom. You know, in Galatians, the Bible tells us that Christ, having freed us, you know, again, he says, how can you return to the beggarly elements of the world after faith, after being set free? Why would you return? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, cause us to be free. Cause us to lay hold of that which you also laid hold of us. Cause us to respond, to live according to your truth, according to your word, according to your promises. Forgive us, Lord, for falling short. Forgive us for flirting with sin or compromising or making pacts with our flesh. Forgive us, Lord, for remaining in bondage or imprisoned or confinement. Lord, cause us to live free according to your plan, according to your truth, according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee. God bless you. You know, if there's anyone that needs prayer, you know, that if the Lord's poking on your heart, you know, if you can smell freedom but yet don't live it, and you want to pray, then please, I'd be honored to pray with you. We're going to hang out here a few minutes. You'll notice some changes here. I don't know if he cleansed the temple, but he's in process, I think. You know, inside and out. Lord, Lord, help us understand what he's doing and to recognize his hand and to follow his lead. God bless.